Do you want to get You, Me, Them, Everybody audio programming without even thinking about it? Do you use the fantastical Phonotronic Audiograph program, iTunes? Have we got a solution for you? Subscribe to You, Me, Them, Everybody. Go to iTunes and search You, Me, Them, Everybody. Or do it the lazy way. Go to YouMeThemEverybody.com and hit the big subscribe in iTunes button. That's YouMeThemEverybody.com. It's the bee's knees.
Before we go any further, it is hour four, five? Hour four of Sabadoy Gante. We are with Joe Quizzala and Carl Clockers.
No, it's hour five. It's 5 o'clock.
No, it's hour four.
Started at two.
Yeah, two, three, four, five. It's hour four.
Starting hour
I
four.
I can't do that.
Starting hour four.
That's why I'm the co-host. I'm not the host.
It's going great already. This is the talk show host hour. We have one guy that's doing something similar to us and one guy that's doing something similar to us on a couch sitting across from us. It's going to be a very fun hour. And no offense, Joe, Carl sounds hell of a lot better than I think, no offense, you can sound.
In terms of
voice quality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed that when I sat down.
Holy
shit. This guy has got some pipes.
I know.
Do you do any voiceover?
I've just a little bit.
Because you have a great voice.
I was just talking to someone yesterday about doing voiceover work, and the thing about having a good voice is that it's essentially like being a good-looking girl in modeling, you know? There's a lot of good-looking girls that think they can go in and model,
okay.
But there's only so many people that are really
But I think you honestly, you would do very well in radio sweepers and those kind of things, like you're listening to 97.4 or whatever.
I'd love
like
to
that,
spend
the
rest
stuff.
Of my because Don LaFontaine is dead, and right. He's the guy that was the In a World.
Yeah,
he was that guy that did the movie trailer things.
But would you imitate him or would you have your own?
I don't think anybody can imitate Don LaFontaine without just sounding like a bad Don LaFontaine ripoff. And it's probably an indication of how much I've actually paid attention to voiceover work that I know who Don LaFontaine is.
Have you ever seen the trailer for the Seinfeld film?
Right, that's him.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen the man.
Yeah.
He was in, there was an opening to an awards show where they had Don LaFontaine in the back of a limo with like two other voiceover guys. And it was like a 5-minute opening segment of just them in a limo talking and doing like, you know, kind of like taking out movie lines. And that was just their entire conversation.
Okay.
And it's a lot more entertaining than it is listening to me try to describe it.
Understood.
But I mean, it's got to be on YouTube or something like that.
Yes.
One would have to assume.
Fantastic. That was a great thread. Sorry. See, I'm a dick.
Story.
I'm always a dick. I don't want to be a dick anymore, but I always am. How could I fix myself, Merle?
I think we have this conversation every time you talk to me.
Carl,
I don't know
I
what
this?
Kind of answer
Joe,
you want
how can
out
I fix
of me.
This? Joe, you're not nearly as mean on your show as I am.
No, I tend to be pretty positive, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yours is... let's go through the shows.
Sure.
You're the host of the Late Live Show.
That's correct.
And you have a co-host with you?
I have a sidekick.
You have a sidekick.
Joe McAdam.
And the first season was CJ Toledano.
Mm-hmm. And that was more of a co-host situation.
Okay.
But we've distributed the hosting duties a little differently now.
Okay. And Carl, your show is a radio show.
I have been, at some points, the host of the Chicagoist podcast series through the Chicagoist.com website. And, I used to be in radio, too.
What are the goals for you two? Why are you doing these shows?
I haven't actually done my show since January, so that I might not be the best person to go to for that.
Why don't you have any goals?
Because they just set you goals up for disappointment, essentially.
Well, why did you start doing it? There's a reason you did.
Frustration.
In what?
Just being, you know, I used to work at a radio station, and I was behind the scenes, and everybody behind the scenes is generally a frustrated person that wants to be behind the mic.
Merle, you used to work at Q101 in the Loop. Was that
the
case?
Oh, for a second, I'm like, don't point at me for that.
I'm asking the question.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Was that how it was at the Loop and at Q101 as well? Just everyone there wanted to be on air?
No.
Okay.
Funny enough, the people who were there, most of them were happy where they were.
Really?
They didn't want to.
What about like interns?
Oh, well, yeah.
Interns always
No,
want
of course.
To, yeah. Well, especially for like a rock station and stuff
yeah.
like that.
I mean,
I
was
always working at at like news talk stations
where everybody
is ridiculously opinionated or just wants to know everything about news, so they want to communicate that. But I imagine it's probably different in music radio just because people like listening to music all day.
Yeah. Are you ridiculously opinionated?
I'd say moderately opinionated.
Okay.
I don't think any of them are that ridiculous, but...
Fair enough.
That's just me.
Joe.
Yes.
Your show...
Yes.
Is, it's not just... It's not a podcast, actually.
No, it's not at all.
It's a late night show.
Mm-hmm.
And you film it, and it's at the Second City, et cetera, stage.
No,
it's Del Close stage. I'm sorry.
DeMott. It's at the DeMott Theater.
Why do I always think it's the Del Close stage?
I don't know, because that's not even Second City.
No. Well, no. He was at Second City before
right,
he did I.O.
Del Close Theater is I.O.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DeMott. What is DeMott? Is it a person?
Yeah, there was a guy named Don DeMott.
Okay.
Yeah, just one of those old-time improv legendary dudes. Yeah. Are we still talking about goals?
Yes. Why are you doing your show?
Okay. Well, it's important for me as a comedian to be producing content that I'm proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And originality was also important to me. And the city didn't seem to have something that was a talk show with a lot of comedic content.
Mm-hmm.
And plus it was a good way to collaborate with a lot of people that I wanted to work with.
Yeah, you have the makeup of any other late night show you'd see on television. I remember talking to CJ and he said, your writing process is actually harder to get into than most of the late night shows. Like your writing packet that you guys required for submissions.
Yeah.
That's quite impressive. How did you guys start to do this? What was the point of doing that? Why make it so, quote-unquote, professional?
Well, because we wanted it to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if we let some of that stuff go and were lax about that, it just wouldn't happen.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was just as simple as that. Because I've seen stuff like that happen before where people have these ambitious projects, but then they don't approach it the way it needs to be approached, and then it just falls apart.
What do you like doing about your show? What makes it something you want to keep doing? Or is it something you want to keep doing?
It is something I want to keep doing. There's the obvious thrill of just being on stage and being in control.
Yeah.
That might be... I mean, you host a show.
I do host a show.
It's that same thrill.
Yeah.
And Carl as well. Like, there's something, and it's not for everybody, but there's something about being in control and having something that you have ownership of, and to see it do well, that just feeds into something in your body that like just wants you to keep going.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also something that's fun about helming a conversation and being in a position to track down people that you would like to talk to.
Yeah.
And in other circumstances might never, ever, ever get to talk to except outside of the construct that you've created of whatever kind of, you know, late night show or podcast or anything that you've created. And is especially in the kind of world that we're operating in now where everybody's you can communicate with everybody by email and Twitter and stuff like that. It's so opened up the world of people that you can end up talking to that you never thought you might end up spending a half hour on the phone with.
Give us an example.
I got Danny Pudi from Community to talk to me for a half hour, and we literally spent 20 minutes of it talking about Polish food.
He is from the
Chicago.
Is he from the northwest side or the south side?
I think he's from
the south side.
So by Midway.
South side Polish.
Yeah.
And his mother is a Polish woman.
Yes.
And that was just me. I saw him on the Chicago Thanksgiving Parade.
Oh, okay.
And I had been a fan of Community, but I didn't know that he was from the city. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Who's this? Why is this sitcom actor standing in the middle of State Street or whatever?" And then they go, "And you're from Chicago, blah blah blah." And I was like, "Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know that." So I got on Twitter and I had Chicagoist retweet it, and
it worked.
He got back to me and he said, "Contact my publicist." And you know, a few weeks later, I was on the phone with a guy.
Who have you had on the late live show that you didn't think you'd be able to get?
Well, we've booked Danny Pudi a few times, but the thing is, like, his star is rising so much. I want to come. Oh, wait, no, I booked a movie. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll come. Oh, wait, I have to. I'm the most
well,
popular
you and you,
person
you have
on the
to
best
do it
show.
Live, too, right? You
yeah,
to,
we
like,
also yeah, we
person.
Have to get them there at the right time on the right date, and that has that is difficult. That's proven to be very difficult. But I've been so thrilled with the people we've had. I'm very excited about the people we've booked to come on the next season.
Who's that?
Well, we've got Steve James, director of Hoop Dreams, and he's got a movie coming out.
Here's the thing that's weird. He just did the interview show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
I always
keep tabs on them. Yeah. It's like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you dare try to poach.
There was an interview show that was 3/4 of our, like, 2 months prior, like the exact same lineup. And then the most recent Outside the Loop, they had a comedy roundtable, and every single person was on the same comedy roundtable, but a month later. But it's just inevitable. It's not that big of a city.
No, it's the pool is pretty shallow.
Yeah.
For guests.
Yeah.
And it's you try to figure out like when people are going to be in town, but that tends to fall apart.
Who's your ideal guest?
My ideal
not
guest,
ever, but Chicagoan that is a possibility.
Oh, of people in Chicago,
or people that are from here, like a Cusack question. Or something like that.
Right.
But you know, interesting and not doing Leno or something.
I've got two.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll think about it.
Harold Ramis and Bill Murray.
Yeah. That would be I can't together think, or separate?
Either or. Together would be fantastic, but just to sit down with either one of them would be, I mean, Bill Murray's like my spirit animal.
Yeah, that is the ideal.
Those two?
I've talked to Harold Ramis.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He lives around here, right? He lives on the North Shore, I think.
Parts of the year he lives here.
Did you make fun of Ice? Is it Ice Age?
No, Ice Storm?
Are you thinking of year one?
Year one. That's
or year zero
of.
Or year whatever. He also BC or whatever
the
name of it was.
He didn't do the Ice Storm.
Ice Harvest, excuse me.
That's different.
There was a movie called Ice Harvest with John Cusack and Billy
Bob. Oh, yeah. That was a weird movie. That wasn't a bad film. It was just odd.
It was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, year one, God.
Well, that's why there's no Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, but that's key. Yeah. Yeah. If year one had done excellent, then Ghostbusters 3 would probably.
Wait a minute. I heard that it was going.
No, but Bill Murray said after seeing year one, he's like, I'm not doing this
again.
That
certainly didn't instill confidence.
Yeah.
It's the same screenwriters.
Damn.
I would still take Hefner, too.
That would be interesting. I'd like to have him on the show. But the thing is, like, we're doing it in front of a crowd. I don't know if I ever want to see Hugh Hefner in person.
That would be the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I would want to interview, like, 1974 Hugh Hefner.
Well, then, yeah.
I didn't know we had a time.
Yeah. Then I want Bo Diddley as my house band. I mean, I can't do that.
In a perfect world, right.
Yeah, well, that's not. Well, if there was a perfect world, none of us would want to do any of this. What was the thing that made you initially want to do it? Because I know there's a thrill in performing and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. But you guys had to have people that you looked up to growing up.
Oh, yeah. For me, it was Conan and Jon Stewart mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I was obsessed with those shows growing up.
The Daily Show or the Jon Stewart Show?
Daily Show.
Okay.
Like in high school, I would tape The Daily Show and Conan. That'd be the first thing I'd watch when I'd get home from school every day.
Yeah.
No miss. Like always. Well, every episode for a string of like maybe 6 years I saw.
But they're quite different in comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say you're way more Conan than Jon Stewart.
I don't know if that's true. I feel like my comedic persona is more similar to Stewart.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
The shows I've seen, I've only seen season one. Is season two available to watch yet?
You can watch one episode and we have a few clips.
Okay.
Very soon we should have at least six of those episodes up.
Do you guys tackle politics at all?
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no, no.
Why.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm more inspired by Jon Stewart as a comedian.
Okay.
As opposed to how he tackles politics.
Got it. Do you think you would ever tackle politics in a show? Or does it not belong in late night?
It doesn't belong for me, like if I'm hosting the show. Just because I don't have, like we were talking about strong opinions before, I wouldn't say my opinions are very strong.
Got it.
I feel like that's important if you're going to try to tackle that to be.
So it's more important to be funny?
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it, kind of for anyone, like especially if you're doing political comedy, I think the comedy has to come first.
Talk to Bill Maher.
I emailed him.
Yeah?
Because he's going to be in town soon. He cannot do the late live show.
That does not surprise me.
Right?
I listen to a ridiculous amount of talk radio.
Yeah,
when
but
I was
who?
Because
this is a great market for
it. Well, Cliff's Notes version, I went to Catholic school and it wasn't exposed to like real music or culture until...
Where did you go?
I went to St. Mike's in Wheaton.
I was at Fenwick in Oak Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you're further west than me.
I'm further west than you, which means that the culture takes longer to get to us.
That is true. But I'm closer to the city, way more white trash than Wheaton.
I was just listening to one of your things where you described it as the Jersey of Chicago, yeah. Which I totally am on board with.
Yeah, I didn't realize I was white trash until my fiance told me that's how the northern suburbs looked at me.
Shit.
That's what the like. She's like, did they have white jeans and teased hair? Yeah. Was it 1999? Yeah. Okay.
Well, and like, there's something about just the names of those towns that's just a little bit like greasy. Like when I think of Melrose Park and Stone Park and like Beverly, it's just kind of
Bellwood.
They have like strange connotations to, you know, native-born Chicagoans and such. But
yeah.
In fifth grade, I discovered radio, and instead of listening to nothing but like rock and roll and mm-hmm. the Blaze, I started listening to that was like the high point of the AM loop.
Yeah,
we had Johnny B into Kevin Matthews into Stephen Gary into Ed Till into Chet Kopic into Overnights with Ed Schwartz.
Wow,
and that took you all the way through the lineup.
Did we talk about this when you were on the show before?
We might have.
Yeah.
I remember we talked a lot about Mad Men and putting your genitals on the internet.
I don't remember any of this.
You had your genitals on the internet?
No.
Or my genitals on the internet?
Neither.
It was just something about everybody is eventually going to have their be naked on the internet.
I think you said that. I don't think I'd say that.
I think that, well, I was part of the conversation. But I ended up, you know, you get home from school and, you know, some kids would turn on the TV.
Yeah.
Or some kids would just, like, go and hide in their room and listen to cassette tapes. Because mm-hmm. this is, like, you know, 1988 we're talking about. But I went and I turned on talk radio, which probably makes me
well-read.
Moderately weird.
No, I think if I have a daughter, I want her to date someone like that. No, I'm serious. They're not going
to... A seventh grader who listens to talk radio?
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what her age.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, the talk radio you were listening to was funny.
Somewhat funny.
Was,
that's
but,
debatable.
No, but there was the Johnny B wasn't
right,
giving you the news straight up.
True. Well, it was partially that, but it was also that it was kind of like... it was like a club, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a clubhouse, which is the exact same thing that... You know, just thinking about what you just asked, it was the exact same time that I was discovering things like Kids in the Hall and Mystery Science Theater 3000. And is one of the things that I really like about the things that are happening right now. Like if you listen to the Nerdist podcast, it's three people that are good friends that are sitting around shooting the shit. And you can tell that they have a rapport.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing that attracted me to something like Mystery Science Theater 3000, where I always wanted... those kind of friends to hang out with and entertain
a robot with. And a
robot and a
alien
and a thing made out of a bowling pin and a lacrosse mask. Precisely.
Am I the only one that can't get over that Chris Hardwick used to host Singled Out?
I know.
On MTV.
And he looks younger now.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
he
not
does.
Fair.
It's that bull haircut he used to have.
It precisely.
It's not right at all.
No, my question with you, Joe, is CJ went to LA.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in leaving?
I'll probably leave.
Have you thought of okay.
I'll probably leave like in a year maybe.
What's the goal? Where to?
I'll probably go to Los Angeles.
Okay. Trying to do
just trying to write and perform.
Would you try to do the Late Show out there?
Maybe. If I could. The thing is, I think the backbone of that show is the writing staff, so it really would depend on if they're moving there.
Why LA instead of New York?
I have friends in LA. That's probably the deciding factor.
Yeah.
Do you think you're persuasive enough to get some of the writers to come out?
Maybe.
Well, you guys aren't new friends. You've been with these guys before the show started, a lot of them, right?
Yeah, some of them, but really I wouldn't say I'm with most of them that I was good friends with them until the show started.
Well, you're being in close quarters. What was the actual schedule like for each show? Like, was there like a week build up? Was it a 2 week build up?
Oh yeah. So we try to write the sketches. Mm-hmm. The way that the show is set up is we have a warm up character, then the monologue, then a piece of the desk, which is just a way to filter mm-hmm. different jokes in different ways. Then sometimes a video interview, and then a sketch at the end,
and then there's a band.
So we try to write the sketches and the warm up. Before the season starts, we want to make sure we write those, we rewrite them, they're ready to go, all of them,
mm-hmm.
before the season starts. That sketches and warm-up, and then the rest, like the monologue and the desk piece, we will write the week of.
Okay.
So we'll have like the lead-up until our Thursday meeting, everyone will email their jokes into me, we'll meet at my apartment, I'll read the jokes. We'll pick them, and then we'll be like, "Hey, is there anything you want to do with the guest?" And then we'll just kind of figure out the rest of it. And that's basically it.
Okay.
Wait. So do you guys have to be in the room together?
Yeah, it's very helpful to pick those jokes. I think the first week we didn't do that, and we found it was. It was sometimes difficult to predict what jokes would hit, but when you have, you know, 10 guys in a room and you're reading them, it's...
And most of these guys are from stand-up or sketch or improv, a mixture?
Yeah, it's mostly stand-up and sketch.
Okay.
And almost everyone on the staff has done stand-up, and we know most of the guys from doing stand-up. But we didn't... I don't think there's anybody on the staff that primarily did stand-up. It was always like, oh, this person does stand-up, but they've also done some sketch stuff.
Okay. Does that make it easier or harder, or do you not... It just... You don't know?
To just have... What's your question?
Because you have people coming from both fields, does it give them more of a open-mindedness versus just like a stand-up background?
Well, it's probably something that's really limiting about stand-up in terms of the fact that it's just
one voice,
one person in your head,
yeah.
And something like, you know, improv or sketch would be more collaborative.
Yeah, I think that's true. But what's nice is the people from stand-up, there are the ability to write a joke. That's very important for a show.
Okay.
Sometimes if you're picking someone for just improv and sketch, they might not have quite a hold on that, so that's as important. But yeah, if there's someone from stand-up who doesn't quite understand how to write a sketch,
yeah.
Which we saw some in, you know, some of the packets that we read, it's like, oh, this person knows how to write a joke, but they don't quite get sketch, and they haven't had any experience with it, and that is an important part of the process.
Okay. Have you had any thoughts about doing anything comedic or no?
I did. I spent about 6 months of my life doing... like open mic stuff, and this was when I was living like out in West Chicago, so you'd have to drive like 45 minutes to get to some shitty bar basement that had like a half a dozen comics.
A lot of people don't know West Chicago isn't just the west side of Chicago; it's like an hour west.
Precisely,
of Chicago.
There is a town named West Chicago, which is out by Winfield and Wheaton, and if we're talking
far.
About the west side, we're talking about the west side,
like Austin,
West Chicago, precisely. But I lived there, and it was impossible to do anything that didn't involve driving to the gas station on the corner and buying beer. I mean, that was really about the extent of it.
What year was this?
It was 03-ish.
Okay.
04, yeah, or like around 03-ish.
Okay.
And I found that when I was doing that, I realized that every single thought that came into my head was tagged with, oh, I bet I could turn that into a joke. Oh, I bet I could
really?
Turn it into a joke. And it just, I kind of found myself getting like this weird stand-up tunnel vision.
So why did you stop?
Because I didn't want to, I kind of didn't want to live like that anymore, you know?
Okay.
Where it's just like, it was taking up so much energy and I just didn't feel like I was able to have any sort of like real conversation anymore just because I felt like there was part of me that was always trying to mine that experience for something that could be turned into a 7 minutes behind an open mic.
Okay.
And it just kind of consumed me.
How did that transition though into what you ended up doing on radio?
I was doing morning radio at the same time in Aurora. So it was,
you don't live a glamorous life, sir.
What did your morning radio consist of?
It was just basically like news info, you know, Western suburb centric. It's, you know, it's 63 degrees in Sugar Grove, and it's...
That's a place.
It's 64 degrees in Paw Paw.
Is that really a place?
Yes. It's western, like west of DeKalb,
wow.
I think. So, yeah, it was straight west into, like, you know, if there's, like, a line that divides, like city world from the sticks, it was, like, the line that this radio station was
Jesus.
On. But, yeah, I was doing that simultaneously, and it was just kind of... It was one of those things where I knew it was something that I wanted to try and to try to do because, I mean, it's like, it's the last form of communication that's really, truly uncensored. And
radio?
Stand-up.
Oh, stand-up. Okay.
And truly independent because you don't need to count on anybody. You don't need to ask anybody's permission. You don't need to check with anybody to see, you know, I mean, you can do these things if you want to work with like writing partners and stuff like that. But if you want to go at it just by yourself and count on nobody and just go stand on a stage with a microphone with light on you, you can do that. And it, I knew it was something that I wanted to give a shot.
Okay.
And it just kind of like, it's just like this stand-up haze that comes over your brain where it's like, you know, that dude dropped his keys in the parking lot. How could I turn that into a bit, you know?
Did you throw this on the morning show, though? Like, did it bleed in?
No.
Not at all?
Because this was 7 years ago. I would have been in my mid-20s. So when you're around that age, you tend to be... I tended to use nothing but, like, filth and profanity as a crutch.
Got it.
You know?
It's normal.
And I was listening to a lot of Doug Stanhope's work at the time, and it was just like, yeah, I want to do that, you know? I want to be filthy and gross, and there's not a whole lot of
I
want to
die
that.
Alone.
Well, like I did say, my favorite are poop and pee jokes, seriously.
There's nothing wrong with them.
I love them.
Nothing wrong with them. Joe, do you still do stand-up?
Oh, yeah.
What do you consider yourself? A stand-up, a sketch performer?
Yeah, I'm a stand-up.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? So would you rather be doing stand-up or the talk show?
Oh, man.
Or are they just different?
They are very different. Nothing I do in my stand-up would really translate ever.
Why not?
To the... Because I don't do short jokes, you know?
Well, I don't do jokes during my monologue, really. I tell stories.
Right, but yeah.
Ferguson does it every night.
The model that we have found works is short jokes.
Yeah, you do the Letterman, the Leno, the Conan, the classic
the
style.
Format that's, traditional.
Yeah.
And we found that works, and I kind of like having a separation between
Got
the
it.
Two.
Okay. What's your goal right now? Why aren't you doing the show? I don't get it.
I would... first of all, the reason that I kind of put the podcast on pause is because... you'll notice that the last one is from the middle of January, and I left my job at the radio station the beginning of February.
Yeah, but
so that has something to do with
okay,
it.
Okay, but that's an excuse. You know
right,
that.
Yeah, it is. And
the technology's been, there. You know how to use it more than any of us, and we're doing it. You're better than us. Come on.
I have Skype, too, and I can,
Come on.
I just kind of, I needed to...
Wait. Why do you have to do it via phone or Skype?
Oh, I don't.
Well, there you go.
I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did it, guys.
Yeah, done. What would you... Do you miss it?
Sometimes.
Really?
I find that... But, like, I left radio and I started really focusing on, like, freelance writing. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like...
Are you enjoying that?
Kind of... Yeah.
Okay.
Aside from the fact that it pays less than radio even.
It's hard.
But it's and it's not easy, and you know, I'm still looking for other stuff that's out there. But
what does the wife think of this?
I'm a completely different person than from when I'm there, so that's better.
What do you
mean? And I just wasn't, you know, by the time that it was time to split from radio, it was just kind of, you ever have those jobs where like you've been there for a while and you know exactly what you're doing to the point where you can kind of turn your brain off a little bit?
Yeah.
And
well, then I start working on my own shit at that job.
Well, that's exactly what I was doing too. Yeah. And you know, that offered me a lot of freedom in terms of writing for like Chicagoist and a whole bunch of other places because, you know, part of the job was what I was doing. There were breaks of lots of time where other people were talking and I could do other things.
Understood.
And, you know, I was doing that there, and now I'm just doing it at home without having to push any buttons. So
that's good.
Like, it is good because my brain is operating at a higher level than it was.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody's been in that place where, like, you get to a point in a job where it's just like you come in and by 10 o'clock
you're
off.
Of course.
You know, and you just kind of, like, stumble through the rest of your day. And then by the time you get home, you have to spend 45 minutes until you finally feel like yourself again.
So do you want to get back in radio at all?
If it was right.
Okay,
because I was talking to people around the time that I left where I was at, and it was to the point where it was like I thought that I could probably jump back into it and do a pretty good job, but I knew at that point it wasn't going to be anything where, you know, I was still pretty burnt out. So like 6 months later, I'd probably just be like, well,
same,
I don't
just
really
repeating the process.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that makes sense.
I mean, it'd have to be the right thing.
Okay.
I mean, there's a very good chance that a lot more people are going to be hired for that 101 frequency right now.
Oh, that's right. Q101 is switching over to talk.
Talk, news talk, all news. It depends on who you ask and what day it is.
They announced this a week ago? Is that right?
They announced the purchase early this week, and since then it's just been nothing but speculation and conjecture, and a lot of it on my part because I put up something on Chicago as saying, I have absolutely no idea what's going on, but here's what I think might be happening.
Which is actually good for you? Question mark.
I don't think it's very good for anybody, really, people to just be like, here's a really good guess.
In terms of jobs the idea, and stuff.
Well, it's good for everybody, just because, I mean, I've listened to Q101 for forever, and it's going to be sad to have the people that are employed there that aren't going to have their jobs anymore. Yeah. But, you know, a news station or a talk station employs way more people than
that's true.
A handful of people, you know, pressing play on the CD player.
Yeah, and now
saying that was Rage Against the Machine for the fourth time this hour.
My favorite DJ is gone, so I don't care anymore. Now that JVO quit like 2 weeks prior to that, and I don't care. I'm not wishing them ill will. It's just whatever.
And you know, there's so many people that are
unemployed in the radio industry.
That, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of people have been doing is just sitting in one place and holding on to it in the hopes that something will get better.
Joe, you don't record the show just for audio. Is that because the sketches are so visual that it won't translate?
We do not have the technical know-how people to do that.
Really?
Yeah. I've always had the thought in the back of my mind, like, we could put parts of this out as a podcast.
Yeah, totally.
But we've never been able to get... There's so much shit to do to just put the show together. Getting that equipment, that technical stuff together was something we were never able to figure out.
Okay.
Yeah. It's always something I think about, and if we ever get to a point where I'm not running around trying to get diamonds for some sketch, then...
Have you gotten diamonds for a sketch?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we've gotten plastic diamonds.
Okay.
A big red ruby we got.
That's good.
That was a good... That was a coup.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Do you still have the big red ruby?
It's somewhere, yeah. We certainly didn't return it. We've thought about doing sketches where we get props and then we return them, but I don't think we ever were that...
Does Second City just have a stable of props or no? Mm-hmm. Why not?
They're improv.
I don't know. They're not heavy on props with most of their big shows.
That makes sense.
But improv is just you pretend there's
I know.
But there was a wheelchair in the back that we've used two or three times. Like, when you've got a wheelchair at your disposal,
you have to use it.
You better write a bunch of cripple sketches.
Wheelchair races or something.
It's like opening a toolbox and all you have is a hammer. All of a sudden, everything starts looking like a nail.
Yeah. Starts smashing a bunch of shit.
Joe, are you seeing anyone right now?
Romantically?
Yes.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Wow, it got, like, gossip time.
Well, I just wanted to know if the show has affected any, like, relationships or anything like that.
Oh, well, I was seeing someone until the start of season one of the Late Live Show, and then I forgot to call them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You need an intern.
I know, right? I need an intern, for my love life.
Yeah. Just much easier. That's almost a pimp.
Yeah, I felt bad, but, well.
Not that bad. That's good. Merle, how are you?
Can I ask a question?
You know what you should do?
Yeah, I just realized I turned
for your
and
love
I
life. You should hold
chair.
A little contest thing.
Like who?
Who wants to date Joe?
That's could be a whole season long bit.
That could it could be an arc.
Yeah, they did it on Corolla's podcast. It'll work on
now. Pay me $10 or something
right. Per episode.
How much do I get?
Right now, you're a consulting producer now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Perfect.
You had a question. The reason I stopped is I turned and I almost fell out of my chair.
I just wanted because I live like I walked 5 minutes to get here.
Oh, that's awesome.
In the neighborhood. So I were sitting like feet from the Hooten Bar right now.
Above the Hooten
Bar,
yeah.
Mayfest is right there. Do you want to hang yourself every time Mayfest comes around?
No, because I don't hear it.
Really?
I don't really... This room we're in, it's the front room. No one really comes in here.
Because it seems like for 2 weekends out of the year for Lincoln Square residents, it's like, you know, between Mayfest and Oktoberfest... I would treat it like Lollapalooza if I lived here.
No, I don't leave my house. I just don't leave the house.
Really?
If you don't go outside, you're fine. And I don't use this room. I don't use the room next to it because it's the guest room. Everything is towards the back, and you can't hear anything. So it's like I don't even
not
notice.
Even, not even like a glimmer of oompa.
I mean, you hear it. You hear it very like it's a glimmer pretty of
oompa
quiet.
Is a band name or a record title that anybody can use. By the way,
a Polkaholics indie record. There. Last night I couldn't sleep until 2:30, not because I couldn't due to want, but because of the people outside of Hooten Bar.
Yeah, that's why we don't sleep in that room.
And then by 6:30 there was toddlers screaming, so there's a 4-hour window every
night.
That's
pretty much the dichotomy of Lincoln Square.
Yeah, the neighbors upstairs.
I forgot how every stereotype about this neighborhood is true. There's just toddlers everywhere. It's not a bad thing. It means it's safe, but holy fuck, you got to tack
on. No, but
on.
These up here upstairs, they vacuum at 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
I don't know what
but
they...
But you had a guy across your hall vacuuming at 2 a.m. last night as well. So it runs the gamut.
You think that was drunk vacuuming?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
It was, and I went out for a smoke. There was a guy, was vacuuming in his boxers. And then looked
at times
and angrily shut the door and kept vacuuming.
He
angrily shut the door and angrily vacuumed.
How dare you?
That could be a visual bit. Angry chores.
That could be a bit. Like, pay us another $10.
God damn it. Is this what this is about? You guys need money?
I think that bugs up the associate producer now.
Really? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we need money. How are you and CJ doing?
Say that?
How are you and CJ doing?
As Toledano. Friends?
Yeah. Not as, well, I mean, just like in general. Like, I know it's kind of fucking awesome that your old co-host is now doing this, and that's got to be awesome for the show.
Yeah, it is nice. It's nice to have, like, an alumni list already that's
impressive.
Yeah,
within
impressive.
A season. He's like,
he and I talk every day.
That's so nice. I'm not being sarcastic. Like, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, and, I mean, he and I have been very close friends for a long time.
Yeah.
And we've always talked all the time. And it continues now that he's not here.
And here's why I bring up the CJ thing. What do you think of Conan's new show?
You know what? I stopped DVRing it.
What does that say about it? I mean, that was the reason why you guys started, right?
In a way. Okay. Yeah, I mean, because the late night show is a huge influence on everyone on the show.
Well, wait, did you watch The Tonight Show?
I did. I watched all The Tonight Show, and I really liked The Tonight
Really?
Show.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? I'm shocked.
But I don't know if it's the quality of Conan or just the fact that I'm doing it all the time. And it's
like
not,
when you say doing it, you mean...
I'm doing a talk show.
Exactly.
You know, every week, where it's just maybe not as magical anymore.
I found the opposite for... Like, I used to watch Conan every night. Used to watch Jon Stewart every night. I'm no longer watching those shows. In a consistent basis whatsoever, but I am watching Ferguson more than ever before.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because he's like Conan when no one watched Conan.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of freedom, yes, I completely agree, but in terms of type of style, they couldn't be further apart.
Right. I still watch The Daily Show. Still watch The Daily Show every day.
I'm more likely to watch Colbert now. I think what he's doing is actually more exciting.
Yeah, the Colbert's great.
Yeah. Carl, how does all this comedy talk make you feel?
It's magical.
He's soaking it in.
It's a very odd thing to want to do this, and I don't know why I do.
It's a deficiency.
I know. I completely agree. But
it was funny when Carl's talking about. He's like, I don't want to live this life where I'm thinking like, oh, could this be a bit?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, you're sane.
Yeah.
There you go.
Your parents were nicer.
You're a sane.
Well,
normal man.
There's also something that. You know, like, everybody talks about people like you know, like famous people or people that want to get up in front of other people and perform. And, you know, it's like, oh, they're just, like, egomaniacs, you know. They just, they're totally full of themselves. And what people don't realize is that, to a certain extent, everybody who does something like this has to cop to having some sort of ego.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, if there's something inside of you that says, I'm going to pick up a microphone... And the words that come out of my mouth are going to be important enough to be amplified or recorded or transmit to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
There's a certain amount of ego that goes into that, even if you're the self-deprecating Midwesterner like I imagine
usually
that we all are.
That's you have to also be self-deprecating or else you'll become an athlete or a singer. You don't choose
or
to
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't do comedy then. You don't try to be funny.
I was thinking about that, how, like, if I had been, like, very good at music, I wonder if, like, I would have just kept doing that.
Yeah.
Because there was just, like, kind of a grasp for, like, pay attention to me.
Mm-hmm. But why? There's that reason as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's also you have to work with other people in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck.
Were you a musician when you were, like, a teenager?
Yeah.
Stuff like that?
I was.
And you were
in
bands, too, right?
Recently was in bands,
and I think, well, and part of that is because I think when you're a teenager... It's easier to pick up a guitar and be really loud and not, you know, express yourself that way, but not put it into words. But you could crank up an amplifier.
Oh,
really
completely. You could hide
really
a lot easier.
Off at the world.
Yeah.
And then when you get older, and you can kind of verbalize it a little better.
But then you also like, I don't want to deal with drummers.
There's
no, I'm completely serious. It's like, right? I don't want
nobody
to deal,
wanted to deal with drummers in high school.
It's like, I don't want it. The scheduling takes forever. Evil. Fuck you, drummer Michael Sanchez. Like, the scheduling's a bitch. People smell weird. Coordinating everything. There's always one guy that's a band leader. It's never a democracy, mm-hmm. nor should it be. It's just another pain in the ass that people don't understand if they don't do it.
And I find that bands are so easy to book. Like, I feel like when I tell
them,
do you want to perform at Second City?
I know.
They're, like, so eager.
But you guys don't have any, you don't have any metal bands, have you? Or, like, any...
We have not, because our system probably wouldn't allow for it.
Exactly.
The setup time's very short.
Exactly. That's what makes it easier. But we'll have people, I bet tonight someone shows up with a three-piece and we told them one person with one guitar. Yeah. And bands are fucking dumb. Like, they are the dumbest. That's why the musician interviews are very rare or non-existent on late night. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying,
and they've never had to build that muscle of having a personality.
There's like four people in rock and roll that should talk, and that's it.
Iggy Pop.
Yeah, Jack White. What?
We're going to put a list together right now?
Yeah, Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop, Jack White. That's a good start.
Okay, that's two.
That might be it.
I would listen to Ted Nugent, but I don't want to like
Nugent
have his thoughts affect my brain.
Nugent for a different reason.
He counts as a reality star.
What about Alice Cooper?
No.
He counts as a radio DJ. And he's a brilliant man, but he's a radio DJ. Doesn't count. David Bowie, because he's charming and funny.
David Bowie, that was the name that popped in my head. But I haven't heard him talk in a long time.
Whenever he did Letterman, it was always good.
That's true.
That's it. Maybe there's three.
Yeah, I know. I can't come up with anything else either.
Marilyn Manson is hit or miss.
I would say there's a healthy dose of Elvis Costello.
He's already got his own late night show.
Right, which I don't. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm not crazy about it.
It reminds me of Late Night with Jules Holland, where it's like kind of in the round. They swing the camera.
And see, you just reminded me of Henry Rollins, who I don't consider.
He hasn't performed music in over 10 years
instead of a musician now. So
yeah, it's totally different. That's it.
He sometimes considers himself a comedian, doesn't he, Henry Rollins?
He said he puts himself in the same category as Hunter S. Thompson, where he's like essentially a world traveler / journalist.
Okay.
He's a guerrilla journalist. That's what he said.
All right. Does that save him from us calling his comedy hacky? Is that
He's never called himself a comic, though. Yeah. That's the
right,
thing.
So that's how he saves it. That's how he saves himself.
I respect him for that. I've never called myself a stand-up for that reason.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. There's only three.
Cards and letters with musicians that can hold a conversation too.
Wow. Neil Young's been interesting.
But it's painful to watch him sometimes.
Yeah, it
like
is.
Especially when he was on Colbert and he gave him flip flops because that was so bad. That didn't work. Yep, that's it.
That's a good way
to end 45 minutes. Let's plug some stuff before we set up Trevor. Where can people find you, follow you, etc.?
I'm on Twitter at Carl Clockers, both with K's.
It's good. It's a weird, not white supremacist, but almost their name.
Thank God my middle name is not Kevin.
What is your middle name?
Everett.
What's your middle name? Everett?
Everett, yeah.
Everett. Keck?
Keck.
That's good. I like that one. Joe?
Yeah, you can follow me at Joe K Comedy. You can also follow The Late Live Show on Twitter.
And when are you guys coming back for season 3?
We are coming back on July 16th with a very special guest that I can't reveal yet.
Okay.
Because anytime we have a big guest like this, it hasn't been great in the past. They've dropped out.
Got it.
But I have high hopes for this guy. It should be a guest that everyone would want to see.
Are tickets already on sale for that?
I don't believe they are, but they will be by July.
Do you have a lot of music fans that are you're like you in your crowd or no?
Music fans when they want to see that band.
Got it.
Because I'm hoping we can.
You know that's Pitchfork weekend, right?
Oh.
Yeah, that might be very good or very bad for your show.
We'll see.
I'm assuming good.
Usually premieres we do fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
And the guests, very special. So.
All right, well, that's a very exciting thing. Trevor's going to set up. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Absolutely.
Good times. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
I thought you were going to set me in front of this microphone that had no cord.
No, that's what we're going to do. We got to unplug
it. Go ahead, Trev. Rip it up, son.
No. Could you switch out Carl's mic and then... Yeah, we can talk, Carl. We can talk, Trevor. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you, Brandon?
I'm fine. How are the Hoyle brothers?
Excellent.
Good. How was that Matt Campbell show at the Brain that the Belmont Barbershop put on?
It was good.
Good.
Yeah, it turned out well. So we'll do another one
Fantastic.
In August, I guess. So. Oh, yeah, say something, yeah.
Lazy! Ladies and gentlemen, on the internet and in the podcast world, Trevor McSpadden from the Hoyle Brothers. Me clapping.
Thank you so very much. Well, here I am again, on my own again, all alone again, just thinking about you. Yes, here I am again, on my own again, all alone again, just thinking about you. There was a time when this would have been easy. There was a time before I met you. There was a time I never thought of another. There was a time hadn't a clue. But here I am again, on my own again, all alone again, just thinking about you. It won't be long, we'll be back together. It won't be long, and I'll see you again. It won't be long, these thoughts will be memories. It won't be long, I'll be on the mend. Thought I could make it. I thought I could fake it. I thought I could try to see things through. But here I am again, on my own again, all alone again, just thinking about you. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. It's good to have an audience here. Oh, good. Well, I do normally play with some flowers around. Excellent. Well, I'll go. Here's some. We'll do some more sad songs here. Don't you wish I'd put you in a song? I know you think that's where you belong. Is that how you get your sense of worth in a chorus and a verse written by some guy who's since moved on? Well, you ain't worth the ink that's in pen or page in the book that'll keep my lyrics in. If I ever feel inspired, it won't be you that lights that fire. You'll be forgotten for the song even begins. Did you really think I'd write a song for you? What makes you think you're worthy of a tune? Wasted enough time, why would I waste a rhyme? Did you really think I'd write a song for you? Thank you. far as I'm concerned, this was a dream. Now that I'm awake, I don't remember anything. Those tears in your eyes only make me realize yours won't be a name I choose to sing. Did you really think I'd write a song for you? What makes you think you're worthy of a tune? I wasted enough time, why would I waste a rhyme? Did you really think I'd write a song for you? What makes you think you're worthy of a tune? Did you really think I'd write a song for you?
All right. Okay, we'll pick it up just a little bit here. Don't want to bring the mood down. Hey, well, here's another song about the blues. Here's another song about heartache. Well, I'm just another loser in love. I'm just another fella in bad shape. I got nothing to say that hadn't been said before, but I'm gonna sing this song like no one's heart has ever hurt them all. Well, my heart is feeling heavy and my eyes are full of tears. I'm not doing as good as it may appear. Go away or stay right here, either way is fine. I gotta let it out, cause I got too much on my mind. So here's another song about the blues. Here's another song about heartache. Well, I'm just another loser in love. I'm just another fella in bad shape. I got nothing to say hadn't been said before, but I'm gonna sing this song like no one's heart has ever hurt them all. I don't mind if no one hears it, I don't mind if no one cares. I'm mad, sad, lost and scared. Turn your head and laugh, or you can hang your head and cry. Either way I'm singing, cause I'm too hurt to be shy. Oh, well, I just can't seem to learn from my mistakes. Though I try, I can't make my escape. I run and hide and cheat and lie. I feel so low, but I act so high. And I'm bound to hurt another, however long it takes. So here's another song about the blues. Here's another song about heartache. Well, I'm just another loser in love. I'm just another villain in bad shape. Well, I got nothing to say that hadn't been said before, but I'm gonna sing this song like no one's heart has ever hurt them all. Like no one's ever felt this way before. Yeah! All right, there's three songs.
That's good. Let's fuck out of it. No.
That was good, buddy.
I drank three beers. That's
did you really?
Per song. Well, I don't know. Maybe. I can't remember.
Wait, how do you not know how many beers you drink?
Well, I don't normally keep track. I
That's a tricky habit you got going on.
Yeah, well, so far it's working out okay.
Good for you, buddy. Hoyle Brothers every Friday night at the Empty Bottle.
That's right.
Anything else you want to plug?
Yeah, Hoyle Brothers every Friday night at the Empty Bottle. Hoyle Brothers' new album coming out at the end of this year. We're going down to Texas to record. Very excited about that. So stay tuned for the next Hoyle Brothers full-length album release.
And
coming
that is
soon.
Hour number four. Thanks so much, man.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, internet listener. I have to stop recording.
Are you sick of shows that promise to entertain but leave you holding your dick? Are you sick of open mics? Then put down your dick and come to You Meet Them Everybody Presents every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain, 2319 West Belmont, Chicago, Illinois. Music better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Stand-up comedy better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Literature that isn't poetry so it doesn't suck. And it's better than anything you'll hear at an open mic. Because it's not fucking poetry. Films from Chicago filmmakers who don't need to attend open mics.
Because they don't have to.
Weird stuff like some guy walking on glass that's so cool, even it would fly to fucking open mic. It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Doors open at 8 p.m. Performances at 9 p.m. 21 plus only.
Children should be left at home and will not be allowed in because they suck.
It's You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents. Every Monday and Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain. Full lineup available at You, Me, Them, Everybody. Go!